by the infinite causeless mercy of our beloved Acharyas, we have been given this priceless, incalculable fortune of being here today. Yogapith is the most auspicious abode where the supremely most merciful manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within this world. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Lord Chaitanya is the one form of both Sri Radha and Krishna, the divine couple of Sri Vrindavan. Navadvip consists of 9 islands. It is compared to an 8-petaled lotus. The whirl of that lotus is where we are today. It is called Antardvip. In the very heart of the whirl of the lotus of Navadvip Dham is Yogapitha, the birthplace of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, referring to the scriptures and his own divine realizations, explains how this island was given the name Antardvip. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, when Lord Sri Krishna was performing his transcendental pastimes, he was appearing to his friends, to his parents, and to his lovers like an ordinary child. Krishna killed the Agasura. Brahma was very interested in this. How such a small child was killing such a gigantic, powerful demon. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He happened to be watching Krishna as he was sitting on the bank of the Jamuna. Hare Krishna. With the gopas. It is explained therein that the gopas were like lotus petals surrounding Krishna and Balaram. In this case, it was actually on Balaram's birthday. So Balaram was not there that day. The gopas were all surrounding Lord Krishna, and each one of them was simply staring at Krishna. And the love of their hearts was being offered to Krishna through their gaze. A devotee uses all of his senses, or her senses, simply for the pleasurable service of the Lord. Actually, in a purified state, the residents of Vrindavan, they don't simply look at Krishna to enjoy Krishna, but the love of their heart is simply flowing through their eyes as an offering to Krishna. And Krishna, who reciprocates with their loving glance, manifests his love through his infinitely beautiful form in such a way that that form, through reciprocation, comes back into their eyes, completely melts and conquers their hearts. In this way, even the glancing upon each other is a selfless exchange of offering love. So the gopas were so much enjoying seeing Krishna, and Krishna was so much enjoying seeing his cowherd boyfriends. And they wanted to please each other. The gopas would, they each had their own lunches packed by their respective mothers. And how they were taking prasad, it was a very beautiful scene. Some were taking prasad by putting it on the stones of the forest. Some threw wild leaves from the trees. When they tasted something that was very, very nice, right from their mouth, Krishna, this is very good, would you like to have? Krishna was very eager to accept the loving offering of his devotees. Now, according to the rules and regulations of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not done like that. You don't eat something, and if you like it, then you offer it to the deity. And in Brahmaloka, they perform the rules and regulations very carefully. And Brahma is the original guru. He's the Vedas are emanating from him by the mercy of Sri Krishna. So when he saw this, he was actually bewildered. He wanted to see, what is this? So by his divine potency, he led the calves by providing very fresh, sweet grasses farther and farther and farther away. While gopas were sitting on the bank of Jamuna taking nice bhoga with Krishna, they became alarmed. They could not see the calves anywhere within their sight. So Krishna, always eager to serve his devotees, and how Krishna serves his devotees. This is a great wonder. Krishna can perform so many functions of his love and mercy through one event. On one hand, he wanted the cowherd boys to just go on enjoying prasad. So he said, I will go and get the calves. You continue enjoying. At the same time, Brahma is also his devotee. And he wanted to teach Brahma a very good lesson. And through Brahma, he wanted to teach all the universal creations a very good lesson. So he looked and searched for calves. It is a long story. But in essence, he understood what Brahma had done. And the sun was just about to set. Brahma had stole all the calves. When Krishna came back to the gopas, they were all gone. Brahma stole them also. He put them in a hidden place, in a state of mystic slumber. So Krishna, not wanting the mothers of the calves and the gopas to be in any difficulty, and also to fulfill the heart's desires of all the Brijavasis, he manifested the exact forms of each calf and each cowherd boy. After all, he's the creator of everything. So he has the independent will to perform any extraordinary pastime. So it appeared just like any other day. Krishna and his friends were playing their flutes and blowing their buffalo horns, and all the calves were happily dancing beside them and behind them, and all the gopas were singing and dancing and playing as they entered into Braj, the village where Krishna was residing. And all the elder gopis and gopas were there to greet them. And the cows were so eager for their calves. No one detected any difference except they couldn't understand why they loved their children like they never loved them before. A great miracle, which even Maharaj Parikshit could not fathom, is how is it that the mother and father gopas and gopis, they loved Krishna, who is the son of Nanda and Yashoda, more than their own children? This is unheard of. In this world, who could love someone else's child more than their own child? Even if your neighbor's child gets straight A's in their exams, and your child fails. Even if the neighbor next door's child is very, very handsome or beautiful, and your child is very ordinary. Even if the child next door wins all athletic tournaments and yours has a broken leg. Does anyone love the child next door more than their own? It's actually impossible. But in Vrindavan, every mother and father love Krishna more than their own children, and they love their own children millions of times more than anyone can love their children in this world. So we cannot imagine what is their love for Krishna. And they were all longing. They were all longing, not in an envious mood, but in a mood of humility and love. They longed to have the opportunity to serve Krishna, just like Nanda and Yashoda. So Krishna, knowing their heart's desire, in Chintamani Dham Vrindavan, all desires are fulfilled. Krishna wanted to give all the cows and all the gopas and gopis the chance to serve him just in the mood of Nanda and Yashoda. So therefore he became everyone's son. And when the cows were, when Krishna, in the form of a calf, were drinking the milk of the cows, they were experiencing the same kind of cessation as Yashoda Mai when she was feeding her milk to Gopal. The cows were in ecstasy. Profuse tears were flowing from their eyes. They were so happy. Their hearts were overflowing with love. And similarly, gopis, when they would embrace their children, they were embracing Krishna. This took place for one full year. Just toward the end of the year, Balaram discovered. Once the elder gopas were herding cows on the top of Sri Govardhan Hill, and the older calves, who were not even the young calves, because the real young calves that just give birth, they stay in the Goshala of Braj. And the little older calves, they would go out to the pastures with Krishna and Balaram. So when the cows saw their older calves, they became so much overwhelmed in the ecstasy of parental love, they just ran down the hill. Did you ever see cows run down a mountain?
It's a beautiful sight. They're gigantic, full milk bags. We're swaying to and fro and profusely pouring the milk of their love all over Govardhan Hill. And when they came down, with tears in their eyes, they just started licking their calves and licking and licking as if they were just licking them.
Gopas, and you all, see? Something like that. The Gopas, they were very much concerned. What's going to happen to our cows? They won't have any milk left. So they started running after her, and they were in great anxiety. But then when they saw their children, who were all Krishnas, they forgot all their anxiety, embraced them, and smelled their heads as their hearts melted in love. So then Balaram understood. This is that only Krishna can attract such intense, intimate, spontaneous love. So after 1 year, which happened to be but a moment in Brahma's calculation, he came down to see what kind of disturbance he created to Vrajbhumi. But everything was absolutely normal. There was no change. There in the pasture, this was also Balaram's birthday, he was not there. Special effects here are very nice. Perhaps she's approving of this wonderful story. So he saw, there were all the gopas, there were all the calves. He went back to see. Maybe they escaped. And in the place he was hiding them, they were still in their mystic sleep. And he came back again and saw, there they were, just playing, having lunch with Krishna. He went back and forth until he couldn't understand what's happening. And then Krishna, just to further increase Brahma's bewilderment, every single calf and every single gopa manifested a forearm form of Lord Vishnu, holding the conch shell, lotus flower, club, and disc. Then everything disappeared. And there was Gopal, all alone, with some yogurt and rice and fruit in his hand, looking for his calves, very innocently, as he was a year before. So Lord Brahma descended on his swan airplane and put his four crowns upon the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And he prayed. He prayed to the Lord. In the darkness of night, a firefly thinks he's illuminating all directions when he makes his tail light up. Have you seen? They can only do it for a little while. It's just like, and it lights up. And because of total darkness, they really think, oh, I am illuminating all directions. But then when the sun rises, then their light isn't... doesn't illuminate anything. They realize they're simply insignificant. So Brahma was in this mood. That in the darkness of ignorance, I am thinking I am the creator, I am Brahma, I am the father of all living beings, I am very great, I am powerful, I am learned. But in the presence of Krishna, who is like the supreme sun, he realized that he is utterly insignificant. In this spirit he surrendered to Lord Krishna. And Krishna blessed him. But Brahma was thinking that in the age of Kali, once in a day of Brahma, Lord Sri Krishna personally descends and manifests his Vrindavan Leela in this world. And in that same day of Brahma, in the Kali Yuga, Radha and Krishna appear as Lord Chaitanya in Navadvipa. So Brahma was thinking that this great big position of being creator is not really, it's not what people make it out to be. What I would really like to be is one of these simple little cowherd boy friends of Krishna. What is going to prevent me from making the same mistake due to false pride when Lord Chaitanya appears? So he came here to this place to perform tapasya, meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a mood of very sincere prayer. And Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared to Lord Brahma here. When Brahma saw the beautiful golden form of Lord Chaitanya, his heart melted in love, he surrendered. Lord Chaitanya asked, what benediction would you like? He said, being so learned, being a big creator, is simply a disturbance to me. What I really want in my life is to be your associate, to be your devotee, in a humble state of mind. So Lord Gauranga said, so be it. You will take birth in a family of yavanas. Is this a benediction? Lord Brahma has the highest birth in the entire universe.
Yes?
He's the great-grandfather of everyone. He happens to live 311 trillion years. And he never gets old. He never gets sick. His abode is not subjected to any sufferings by demons. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, these demons, they could conquer up to Swargaloka, but they could never approach Brahmaloka. But yet, he's getting the benediction to take birth in a family of yavanas. Gauranga Mahaprabhu continued, your name will be Haridas Thakur. You will be the personification of humility. There will not even be the slightest tinge of false pride in your heart. And therefore, in that spirit, you will constantly be chanting my holy names. You will be chanting 300,000 of my names minimum every single day. In ecstatic love, you will be the Namacharya. And at the time of your passing from the world, my lotus feet will be upon your heart, and you will be gazing upon my face. In my presence, you will pass from this world. And after you give up your life, you will attain my eternal abode of Sri Navadvipa. Now I want to tell you a secret. Confidential knowledge is called Antar. Antardweep means the island of very confidential secret. said, when I appear, I will be in the mood of my devotee. I will come to taste the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love. And I will make the whole universe dance, chanting my holy name. I will make the devotees of all the previous avatars drunk with Vrindavan prema. To taste the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love, I will come with the sentiments and the complexion of Sri Radhika. Do not tell anyone the secret, or you will regret it very much. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then placed his lotus feet on Brahma's head and disappeared. Lord Brahma was so happy. He was in ecstasy, just waiting, longing for that moment when he could take birth as a yavana. As Haridas Thakur, to always chant the holy names of the Lord. The birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, as predicted by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, was covered for about 100 years by the changing currents of the Ganga. At the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the island of Kulia, there was a place being worshipped as Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, Yogapit. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, according to the scriptures, the Yogapit is supposed to be on the other side of the Ganges. From Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhakti Ratnakar, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mangal, and various other scriptures, he concluded that that is not really the birthplace. He collected very ancient maps of Navadvip, and that further confirmed it. One day when he was at the Rani Dharamshala, he saw a brilliant, effulgent light over this place. This happened to be the place that, according to all calculations, he concluded must be the real place of Lord Chaitanya's birth. So he came here. It was a plot of land owned by some yavanas, but it was pretty worthless to them. Because they wanted, it was an agricultural area, and they were trying to grow vegetables, but the only thing that would grow was tulsi plants. It was covered with tulsi. So after his research, his prayer, and consultation with other authorities, he concluded, this is actually the most resplendent, auspicious, and sacred place of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. But he wanted a final confirmation from the greatest, most highly realized saint of the world, his Shikshaguru, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. At that time, Babaji Maharaj was over 100 years old. And his servant, Bihari Lal, would have to carry his very frail and aged body on a basket because he hadn't walked for years. He couldn't even really, just to see, he would have to pick up his eyelids. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj here. And when he placed his basket on this hallowed ground, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, his heart erupted in ecstatic love. He performed a miracle that was unprecedented. He hadn't walked in decades. And all of a sudden, he leaped out of his basket so high, people were looking up at him. And he was leaping again and again and again in ecstatic love, with tears pouring from his eyes, with his arms raised, loudly chanting the holy name. Chanting Jai Gauranga Sri Sat Jai Sachinandana. That was the confirmation Bhaktivinoda Thakur was seeking. And then, as was explained yesterday by Srila Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wanted to give so many people the chance to help build a shrine in honor of Lord Chaitanya. So he begged and asked only one rupee. Such a big, important man. He begged from about 30,000 homes to build a shrine. And then in 1934, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he excavated and constructed the temple that we see at the present time. While he was doing the excavation, they found under the ground the deity of Jagannath Misha and Sachimata. The name of the deity is Adhokshita Vishnu. And that original deity worshipped by the father and mother and the Lord himself is to this day still situated upon the altar. In the center, Vishnu Priya is on the left-hand side of Lord Gauranga, and Lakshmi Priya, Lakshmi Devi, is on the right side. And the deities of Sri Radha Madhava. And to the right is the very neem tree under which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. Our beloved acharyas explain the descent of Lord Chaitanya. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is told Krishna's heart. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Rupa and Raghunath Das Goswamis, was able to reveal to us what Krishna is thinking in the innermost core of his heart in Goloka Vrindavan. There is no scripture that can compare to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhagavad Gita is the summary substance of all Vedic knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduate study of Bhagavad Gita. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the sense that Bhagavad Gita begins with the basic principles that you're not this body, what is karma, what is time, what is the soul, what is Bhagavan, the Lord, how time is influencing us. And it culminates in Sarvadharman Parityajya. Complete, unconditional surrender to the Lord.
in how to surrender by always remembering Krishna in the spirit of his devotion. And from that point where Gita concludes, Srimad Bhagavatam begins. And explains Srimad Bhagavatam through the successive chapters, higher developments of bhakti. Unconditional loving devotees, the Pandavas, Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Ranti Dev. Such unconditional, selfless devotees immersed in Krishna. And the culmination is the 10th canto, where Shukadeva Goswami describes Krishna's Leela of Vrindavan, where the four higher rasas of servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love are exchanged with the Lord. The highest limits of intense loving affection is personified only in the Braj Gopis. And the culmination of Bhagavatam is the supremest of all lovers. Krishna left all the gopis of the Ras Lila only to exchange love with the supremest, Srimati Radharani. The nature of her love and how it controls Lord Krishna is the ultimate conclusion of the Bhagavatam. And Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study of the Bhagavatam because it begins from that point. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Krishna is so much controlled by the love of Srimati Radharani, he wants to understand what it is. In Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna was thinking in this way, that I am Rasaraj. I am full of all rasas. I'm the supreme object of everyone's love. I am Satchidananda. I'm the reservoir of all bliss. But yet, although I overpower everyone by my beauty, by my sweetness, I am overpowered by the sweetness of the love of Sri Radhika. I cannot understand the power and glory of her love. It overwhelms me. It controls me. Sri Radharani's love is my teacher. Sri Radharani's love makes me dance like a puppet. He wanted to understand the glory of that love. The Lord was thinking in this way, that I am the Vishaya, the object of love. But Srimati Radharani is the Ashraya. She is the abode of that love. Her love for me gives 10 million times more pleasure than the love that I experience by receiving it. The abode of love gives 10 million times more pleasure than what is received by the object of love. So it was something that Krishna could not fathom. He was also wondering about the mystery, what it is about myself that Radharani experiences. He compared Srimati Radharani's love to a mirror. His beauty, who was all attractive,
when it is reflected on the mirror of Radharani's love, that mirror reflection increases the beauty of Krishna by millions of times. That Srimati Radharani's love is unlimited. It is all-pervading. There's no room for it to expand, but yet it is eternally expanding at every moment. What is the sweetness that she sees in me? I cannot comprehend that. And what is the happiness that she derives in tasting my love? So for these three reasons, Lord Krishna decided to descend into this world with the sentiment and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. It is explained when Krishna told Radharani that he was going to descend into the world with her heart's love. She said, if you experience my love when you think about yourself, you're going to roll in the ground in ecstasy, and I don't want to see your body do that, so I will cover you with my own complexion. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the loving sentiments and complexion of Srimati Radharani. At the same time, he wanted to fulfill three external purposes. It was the time for the Yuga Avatar. The Yuga Dharma is the congregational chanting of the holy names. So he descended to inaugurate and broadcast the only means of deliverance in this age of Kali. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatirahunyata. In the age of Kali, which is an ocean of faults, there is only one benediction. Everything else is simply trouble. But there's one benediction, that one can attain the ultimate supreme perfection of liberation simply by loudly, sincerely, with helpless spirit of devotion, chanting the holy name. Sri Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives his promise. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhitanam dharmasya pitatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chudushpanam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami jugeji. He descends millennium after millennium to reestablish principles of religion, to protect his devotees, and to annihilate the miscreants. But Srila Prabhupada explains that actually Krishna can do that through material nature or through his devotees. But ultimately Krishna personally appears within this world to give pleasure to his devotees, to perform such wonderful, beautiful pastimes to attract the hearts of all fortunate souls. And he also appeared to fulfill the loving prayers of his dear devotee, Sri Advaita Prabhu. Thus the Lord first sent many of his eternal associates to appear in this world to prepare for his descent. In such places as Srihatta, which is today called Silet in Bangladesh, the four brothers, Srivas, Sriram, Sripati, and Srinidhi, appeared in this world. Also in Srihatta, Murari Gupta, and Chandrasekhar Acharya appeared in Chittagong, or Chittagram. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was Vrishabhanu, Radharani's father, appeared within this world. And also Vasudev Dutt, Mukunda Dutt, and Chaitanya Vallabha. In Bhutan, Srila Haridas Thakur appeared. In the province of Radhadesh, in the village of Ekashakra, Sri Balaramji descended as Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In Trihut, in the Mithila region, Paramananda Puri appeared. He sent such great personalities as Madhavendra Puri, Paramananda Puri, Advaitacharya appeared in Navagraha. In the Srihatta area, not too far away, a great person was sent by the Lord. His name is Upendra Mishra. Upendra Mishra was in Krishna's Leela Parajanya, the grandfather of Lord Sri Krishna. Upendra Mishra had several children. Of them, the most glorious was of the name Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra was very beautiful, very deeply learned in the scriptures. He was the very personification of morality, compassion, and pure love. He came to Navadvip to study. While here, there was a very, very great Brahmin who lived in that area of Navadvip called Belpukar. His name was Nilambar Chakravarti. Nilambar Chakravarti saw the incredibly pure, virtuous qualities of Jagannath Mishra. Thus he offered the hand of his beloved daughter, Sachi Devi, to him for marriage. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi are the incarnations of Nanda and Yashoda. They were married, and Jagannath Mishra thus settled here in Sri Navadvip. At that time, the condition of Navadvip was something very, very worthy of our study. Knowing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was going to appear in this holy place, because it is actually the eternal abode of the Lord, Lord Brahma made special arrangements when he created Navadvip. Actually, he didn't create, but he was an instrument. It was such a wonderful place. There was so much opulence, so much riches. But the greatest wealth was in scholarship. It was such a culture here that, yes, people had money, but that wasn't considered anything very impressive. But learning was impressive. The real wealth of life, the real opulence, was knowledge. There were so many professors on the various bathing ghats along the river Ganga. There were hundreds and thousands of teachers and students bathing every day. Because of their great learning, people were coming from all over India to learn here and giving money. So there was no shortage. Brahma created Navadvip to be such a beautiful, opulent place.
And the goddess Saraswati, she personally empowered the teachers, the scholars, and the students of Navadvip to be so incredibly learned. Navadvip was almost the highest seat of learning for all of India. Of the six systems of knowledge, they had the scriptures and the professors who mastered five of them. But one, the branch of Nyaya, or logic, there was only one place in the whole world where they had the original scripture, and that was in Mithila, which previously was the birthplace of Sita Devi. Have any of you ever been to Mithila? It's a very, very beautiful place. I had the fortune of being there in 1972 to celebrate Ram Navami. Very nice place. I don't know what it's like now, but in those days, there were no trucks. All transportation would be on the back of elephants. Now this is real culture. Today these big trucks... and black smoke is just pouring out. And then they blow their horns. It's horrible. It's Ugrakarma. But there, it's just elephants. They're strutting so beautifully on the roadside. And the only sound is each one of them has a bell on their neck going, boom, boom, boom. It's very beautiful culture. So Mithila, they had their professors who had mastered the science of Nyaya. And this was the only deficiency of Navadvip Dham. And people of Navadvip would go there to study, but they couldn't teach it because they didn't have the book. But the greatest of all the scholars of Navadvip was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was actually the incarnation of Brihaspati, who was the teacher of the demigods. He mastered all the systems of knowledge. Then he went to Mithila. And he had such incredible power of memory. Just by hearing the scripture of Nyaya philosophy, he memorized it perfectly. When he returned to Navadvip, he wrote it all down. And then Navadvip became the supreme high seat of learning. And of all the places in Navadvip, the school or the academy of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest. Some of the greatest scholars in the history of this part of India, Raghunath, Krishnananda, whose books are still, to this day, read as the authorities, they were the students of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. King Prataparudra of Orissa, knowing the power of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's learning, his ability to teach, and his incredible morality, ethics, and culture, actually invited Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to make an academy to teach with all the king's funding and support in Sri Purushottam Kshetra, or Jagannath Puri. In one sense, it was a great loss for Navadvip that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was going somewhere else. But in another way, it wasn't a loss at all, because his students were unparalleled.
and practically equal to him. However, although Navadvip was such an opulent place where people really, really thought that they were happy in the pursuit of knowledge, they didn't care about making money. They were concerned with solving very, very difficult philosophical questions of life. That was their sense gratification. Such a culture. But yet the Vaishnavas, headed by Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, when they would look upon the citizens of Navadvip, they simply wept in sorrow. Because although there were millions of people here studying the scriptures scrutinizingly, no one would speak about Krishna. Vedaischa sarvairahameva vidyo vedanta krigveda vedeva chaham. Krishna is the compiler of the Vedanta. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Being deluded by Maya, the illusory energy, they could not fathom the conclusion of the scriptures. Therefore, they never talked about Krishna. Nobody would ever chant the holy names. The most pious people in the whole of Navadvip, sometimes when they would bathe, they would say Govinda or Pundarik. Ritualistically, with no bhakti. People were so engrossed on the mental and physical platform that they would take huge sums of money to spend it for marriages of children. And they considered this to be something very, very great. To accumulate the wealth of knowledge, to accumulate some money, to have a big family, this was considered to be the greatest goal of life. And everywhere people were worshipping various demigods. They were worshipping the snake goddess, Manasa. They were having elaborate pujas for Mangala Chandi or Durga. And all of their rituals and all of their so-called religion was simply for material benefits. Advaitacharya, in his house in Shantipur, and he also had a house here in Navadvip, he would be constantly studying and discussing the scriptures. And what he saw and what he taught was that every single sloka of every single scripture is ultimately teaching us to give up karma and jnana and surrender to Krishna in pure unalloyed devotion. So Advaitacharya and the devotees, they would be taking shelter of one another to hear about Krishna and chant the holy names. And when they would leave Advaita Prabhu's house, they never heard Krishna's name anywhere. In fact, people hated the Vaishnavas. The town was blasphemous of the devotees. That these Vaishnavas, look at how they're loudly chanting the holy names. Why? Just to get something to fill their hungry bellies because they're so useless, they have nothing. But we are worshipping Goddess Chandi, and look at, we have big homes, nice families, nice foods, Vaishnavas. What is the use of your worshipping Krishna? What is the use of this loud chanting? In fact, they considered the devotees' chanting to be a great disturbance. So when the devotees saw this, their hearts were crying in compassion. Therefore, Srivas Thakur with his brothers at the Srivasangam, they understood that the only way that these people can be delivered, because they won't listen to us, is if Lord Sri Krishna appears. Therefore, he and his brothers would have kirtan day and night with the prayer that Krishna descend to the world to rescue these fallen souls. So compassionate. And yet these fallen souls, they couldn't understand. They blasphemed Srivas. Why is he chanting so loud? We cannot sleep at night. The whole purpose of life is to make a lot of money, to become learned in the scriptures. And how will we do it if we're up all night? They're just screaming and howling.